That was a good one. Well, welcome back to another episode of Comic Book Nerds and Celibacy. That, by the way, was a song from the online web series The Jack Ryder Show, if any of you guys should look it up on YouTube. And the song was written by the fabulous Psycho Rockstar. Just thought we'd plug that. And welcome back again to our show with me, your host, Nicholas Patterson, and I'm here with our co-host.
Umed Abdullah here again.
And hey. Here with the studio. I'm not sure if you guys listened to it last week, but we have Alice Quinn of T-Dog Comics and Matt Bernard of Bane & Bernard Comedy.
Glad to be back.
Yo, what up? It's awesome to be here.
Yeah, it is. On this episode, we're going to be talking about comic book movies.
Ooh.
There we go.
Spooky stuff.
I think the comic book movies are really awesome because somewhere along the line, big movie companies started realizing they could make a lot of money off it.
I think it started pretty much with Spider-Man. I know they had, like, Howard the Duck.
Mm-hmm.
Before, well, who cares about Howard the Duck?
Yeah. Great reference, man. Yeah. Howard the Duck. Yikes.
There was a whole bunch of, like, comic book movies before Spider-Man, but Spider-Man, was so huge and awesome that they're just like, this is what we're going to do forever now, guys, ever.
They had Howard the Duck. I think they had a Swamp Thing movie at one point.
A lot of anime. Well,
I mean, they had Captain America, Spawn. Yeah, man, I love Spawn, though.
Spawn's really cool.
Of course, all the Batmans with George Clooney, Val Kilmer, all of those.
Absolutely,
Maybe it's just, like, our age demographic, but I feel, and I know there were comics, but I feel like comic books itself, they weren't big until Spider-Man. And then that's when Marvel and DC realized how much money they could make. Marvel and DC in general being, like, the top kind of comic book people. But I think after Spider-Man just exploded.
Well, they did it with a good sense of honesty and definitely a higher production value than all the previous ones. I mean, the George Clooney and the Val Kilmer Batmans were really, I mean, of their era, of their time. They were 90s or, 90s, mm-hmm. and none of them were made in the 80s. So they were wild and kind of goofy and altogether silly, not really, you know, it didn't have that grit to it, but...
Spider-Man was also one of the first movies to focus on, like, the coming into himself and finding out he's a superhero and realize, like, you see with the old Batmans, I haven't seen all of them, I've seen, a few of them, and... It was about, like, what will Batman get into this time rather than...
Classic Batman.
Exactly.
It wasn't an origin story.
And now you got, like, Spider-Man. Not only did it, like, break box office records when it came out, but then it was about, like, Peter finding out what it was to be Spider-Man and what it meant.
Also, it's really, like... when people are asked, Spider-Man is most commonly everyone's favorite superhero character. Because everyone's got, like, there's, like, Batman versus Superman, where everyone's like, oh, man, Batman's the best. Oh, man, Superman's the best. But for the record, Batman is the best. But everyone agrees. Everyone agrees that Spider-Man rules, right? Because he is like us. He's just a little nerd who happened to get... bitten by a radioactive spider, and now he's super cool.
That happens all the time.
Yeah. That's why people love him, because they can relate.
I think the Spider-Man movie has such a big influence on that and why people love him so much. I mean, he was awesome before, but then Tobey Maguire did the movie and whatever, and now people are going nuts for skinny nerds.
It's funny, by the way, and I just want to bring up, Alice, what you were saying about people's favorites, and it's so funny, because I remember first year at Ryerson, this would happen to me so often because, you know, I would come into class and for the first about 2 months, I didn't let off that I was a big comic book nerd. So no one really knew. And I remember one time sitting down for lunch with these people and they were talking about comic books. So I just kind of sat down and then this one guy turns to me and he's like, well, Nick, who's your favorite? And I'm like, oh, you know, I've always been a Spider-Man fan. He kind of laughs and he's like, well, of course, somebody who doesn't read comics would pick Spider-Man. You know, I'm like a Cloak and Dagger fan. And I'm like, you can't just take a character that's not really well known and say that if that's your favorite character, then you're into comic books.
That's so.
Because then I turn around and I destroyed him, and I just went off on comic books, and I would ask him questions, he wouldn't know the answers, and I would, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The biggest kind of scoff I've ever heard is the real aficionados will say is, oh, that's just style over substance. Like anyone who likes Gambit, they say, oh, style over substance, get out of here.
Fair enough, and I can understand that. I mean, yeah, Gambit.
I like Gambit. I think he's cool.
He's a really cool guy.
And there's a reason why so many people like Gambit, because And that's why there are characters that are lesser known, like Moon Knight, who's kind of being more well known. I love Moon Knight, but I can see why Moon Knight's not one of the favorite characters.
Mm.
And that's why
I don't know who that is.
The reason why I think Moon Knight's a cool character is since he was redone, he's pretty much a guy who he started off and he was in the war. He was a soldier of fortune. And then he became Moon Knight, the superhero. But then, you know, to get information, he becomes a taxi driver, and then he's a millionaire playboy at the same time. Mm. And since he has so many different personas going on, he goes crazy. And in his head, he sees all these different versions of himself. So he's really, really interesting, but...
And we trust this guy.
No, not at all. Okay. Crazy, man.
He's writing it down.
But I'm just saying, people, you know, will pick a lesser-known character and say, well, because I love a character that no one else knows, I know more about the meaning than everyone else. But I'm like, no, there's a reason why Spider-Man and Batman are the top picks.
Well, I think with Spider-Man, I think what they did and they found out, like you said, they've been doing the same thing forever, is the origin story. Origin stories have been going, have been bringing in lots of money, and they're really interesting. Wolverine Origins was amazing. Batman Begins was
Wolverine
great.
Origins.
So good.
Eh.
You didn't like it? You weren't a fan?
Well, I just think that if you're gonna do an origin story, that you should keep in with the context of
the original
of the movies that you've already made,
yeah.
or of the books that you've already made. If you're gonna make an origin story and then change around the whole character, then you got to just rewrite the whole thing.
I know a big problem that I saw, because I went and saw X-Men First Class, and I loved X-Men First Class, but
which
one
is
of the
great.
Biggest problems mm-hmm. people had was that in Wolverine Origins. When, you know, they all come to see Professor Xavier, at the end of the movie, Professor Xavier is walking, but he's an old guy. And in X-Men First Class, he gets, like, you know, can't walk when he's younger.
Mm-hmm.
And like, at first, I'm the kind of guy that I'm like, okay, well, when you make a movie, that movie, it's different than anything else. You're making this movie because it's that movie. So it doesn't matter if it's tied
it's
to different
its own world.
But it's
the fact that in that sense that these are both the previous X-Men, you know what I mean? It's like
it keeps me up at night at 2. Don't worry.
I just think that
I don't know how to deal with life when yeah. I think no, about no. these conundrums.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, if you are doing it, like they're all titled X-Men Dash, that means they're
yeah,
all
definitely.
In the same series. It means they're all in the same canon, and they should be, mm-hmm. right? So the whole thing about in First Class, how Beast came up with Cerebro, and then, you know, Professor X helped him, and, you know, the other guy from the Hellfire Club, he came up with the helmet, yeah. but then Magneto just wore it. Like, that's just bull.
I didn't
bull.
Get that, because he said they
bull.
Were like, who made that? The Russians. And it's like, if they have that technology, then why don't they just make
The whole idea is that Professor X and Magneto make this stuff together, and then, you know, through their experiences
their
get drawn
bonding.
Apart.
It's like if me and Umed were to go camping.
It's not like that at all.
Okay, well.
I mean, if we had super, no, it's still not like
I
that.
Just bring
at all.
A Russian along. You never know what you'll come up with.
I remember I watched the X-Men trilogy after I watched X-Men First Class.
Me too. Yeah.
And one of the things was in the first episode when Wolverine's like, what's the Cerebro? And Professor Xavier's like, oh, me and Magneto built it together, just us two. I'm like, bullshit, you
yeah.
did Beast built that.
But I really like how they started First Class the same way they started the first X-Men movie with Magneto when he's a kid and you
definitely,
know.
And they
same footage,
yeah.
Yeah,
the
that
exact
was
same,
good.
That was
neat.
A good thing.
Good
Can
choice.
We talk about the first Hulk movie? Because it really put me off from superhero movies for a
the
long
one with
time.
With Lou Ferrigno?
No.
I think that
You're
was
right,
a
not
TV
the first
show.
One. Sorry, the first big budget.
The big
I guess.
Budget one. Okay,
but
just
I haven't
like
seen
green paint.
Yeah,
angry
that's
at things throwing over chairs.
I haven't seen. Good call. I haven't seen the second Hulk movie with Edward Norton.
Oh,
no one tells
so
me it's amazing.
Oh, it's
so
a better
because
reboot of it. Absolutely.
The first one ruined it so much for me.
No, honestly, you have to see The Invincible Hulk because it was really good. And like they all the things they did wrong in the first one, they did better in that. And that was the first.
Yeah.
That was the same year that Iron Man came out, and I was actually more partial to Hulk at the time. I was like, no, that Hulk movie was better.
Is Iron Man 2 good? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I watch it frequently.
Okay.
I only have one problem
frequently.
With the Invincible. Yeah, just throw it in.
Yeah.
I watch it
Tuesdays
three times
at
a day.
6.
The only problem I have with the second Hulk movie is the guy who turns into the Abomination. I don't believe, and I think it's so funny, the Hulk's like big enemy when he's not the Abomination is a guy who's like 4 foot tall. And like that scene when the Hulk smashes him into a tree, I'm like, there's no way a 4 foot guy would just recover from that.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, again,
you can't have that'd be like if you had a character whose name was like Stilt Man and his
on
enemy,
his off time,
yeah,
he's not on Stilt.
His enemy was like Short Man, and you're like, no, why would Stilt Man be fighting Short Man? He would be fighting another guy on stilts.
But those are polar opposites, so I guess.
Again,
I think, seriously, how mean is that for a director or writer to be like, all right, we're gonna make the Hulk, who's this like what 8 foot guy, like 700-pound enemy, be a 4 foot general?
It's kind of like a Deus Ex Machina because they just need a reason for Hulk to win, and it's like get him on his off time, you know, when he's at the grocery store and Hulk's like Hulk smash. and just beats the crap out of him between, like, the frozen section in the deli.
Well, I'm sure if he's 4 feet, he has other things going for him. He has to compensate somehow. I'm sure he's got some guns.
I'm sure he's got a nice car.
Yeah, he's not just kicking at Hulk's heels. Sure. Stop it.
So what did you guys think about Green Lantern? Because I haven't seen it because I heard bad things.
Ugh. Well, I'm really upset with 3D, that whole thing in general, how everything's in 3D now, because it doesn't need to be. It drops the color and like the brightness.
It's coming back. It's a fad.
Like me and Matt, when we saw Transformers 3 the other day, and I forgot it was in 3D about halfway through. I don't know if you thought the same thing.
It doesn't do much for it.
For the first 5 minutes, you're like, if the first 5 minutes of a 3D movie's really well done, you're like, wow, this first 5 minutes is awesome. But then you forget it's in 3D because it's like if I'm looking at you guys right now, this is 3D. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm sure if I saw the world in 2D and then all of a sudden things were in 3D for the first 5 minutes, I'd be like, oh my God.
Ryan's mom walked out of the 3D theater and
gave her a headache.
Yeah, and well, she walked out and she took her glass off and went, wow, it feels like everything's still in 3D.
And then she had the operation.
See, it's the same thing with like 3D is that they charge you more, and then the first 5 minutes are 3D and they are fantastic, but then afterwards actually the effects aren't actually put in. If you take off your glasses halfway through, you'll realize that nothing is in 3D other than like the big fight
scenes. You can't take off your glasses though because everything's blurry, so you need them
Some scenes aren't actually done in 3D. So you can take off your glasses and be like, wow, this is actually just like a regular movie.
Well, in Thor, the only thing that was really 3D was the bridge they cross, and at the big when they're in the ice world, there's like pieces of snow that
that was pretty cool.
That was stupid. Well, I liked it, but I was like, I don't want to pay $5 extra.
Yeah. Like it's a nice gimmick, but like enough
back
already.
Back to the movies, Thor.
Well, I was gonna say, first of all, I know this isn't really a comic book movie, but I still think 3D movies began and end with Spy Kids 3D. I think that was the funniest thing.
Began and end.
I think that was the first movie in 3D that I saw that I went, wow, shit's in 3D. And everything after that's been a disappointment.
Wow.
That was out at you rather than kind of depth in
3D. Yeah, exactly. And you're like,
they used to do that. Remember that the film version of Kiss Me, Kate?
Yeah.
That was 3D. They swing towards the camera and go back. And it just for that one hot moment.
Did you ever see the SCTV sketch?
Oh, yeah,
where
of course.
Where it's in 3D would you like your dinner?
3D, yeah. That's when that generation
that
was when 3D was around.
Really, really well over radio for us. No one knows what we're doing.
What about, what did you guys think of Thor?
I love Thor. I felt it. Man, it was so funny. I went to go see, or we were talking about this earlier. The first day we downloaded Thor and we watched in our apartment. And my girlfriend came over. I mean, legally. And my girlfriend came over to watch it. And she fell asleep. Whatever. I'll hit her for that later. But
with a hammer.
Yeah, with a hammer. Teacher, I remember one of her friends was like, "You're taking your girlfriend to see Thor? Man, she's gonna break up with you for that guy." And I'm like, I don't know if I agree with that. That my girlfriend's going to see a movie of a really big, like
muscular blonde
northern
guy.
God and be like,
"Well, your girlfriend's pretty dumb." So.
But the thing is, she can't, right?
Hey.
That's unfortunate,
and if she does,
though.
She's not the kind of girl you want to be with.
Hey, man, if I could get Thor, I would dump my hubby.
There was that time you broke up with your last girlfriend for Natalie Portman.
And I still think she's going to call me back.
So I love Thor. I thought Thor was like a...
Loki was the best.
He did a really good job. Thor, I felt like, was a totally... Like, they put a lot of money into it. It was a higher caliber movie. Anthony Hopkins was awesome. Like, everyone in that movie I really liked. I have met some people who didn't like Thor.
But they're dead now.
No, yeah. they're here. Here's my bit about comic book movies in 2011, which is this year, right?
They are
entertaining, but
substance.
There's not much. I mean, Thor. Yeah, it was really cool to watch him, like, you know, struggle. He didn't, like, the thing is, like, the whole point about Thor is that he can't pick up his hammer because he hasn't learned anything. He hasn't, you know, he's still, like, this big arrogant jerk. And he doesn't care about people. So he meets this girl, and she's cute, and now he cares about people. Like, they don't have any character development. They don't have any, like, actual sustenance to the characters. Like, the Warriors 3 or the Sith or whatever, they were really cool, but they had no substance, you know? It was just just like, oh, this guy likes to eat and they like to fight. Okay, mm-hmm. that's really cool.
Well, that's Robert McKay's biggest, or not biggest by any means, but a qualm he has with movies. No movie nowadays, especially 2011, looks bad. They all look fantastic, yeah. Of course. The technology's out. It's really honed. They've refined it. It looks incredible with 3D and all that. It's the story that's lacking. Yeah. And, I mean, the general audience. George Carlin said to think about how dumb the average person is and realize 50% of people are dumber than that. So they just want to see the spectacle and not worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think that's what's terrible with comic book movies is the fact that they're all based on these terrifically written stories that have stood,
yeah.
They've all stood the test of time. You know, they're all here 60 years later. And yet, for some reason...
And not like Moonbeam.
Classic Moonbeam. But, like, I understand being a writer myself that if someone was to ask me to put on a comic book movie, I would want to make it my own. I understand that, but I think this is bigger than the writers. And the writers should say, okay, well, instead of making this about me, let's just go back to the original
stories. Yeah, you have to do them justice. These are entities that have been around for, you're right, 50 years and... Like, to take, like, Deadpool and Wolverine Origins. I hate what they did to him, sewing his mouth shut. I know at the end he opened it. Yeah. I liked that he's a great character because he always breaks the fourth wall. And I would have liked to see more of that and how quippy he was and snappy. Yeah. I loved. And then for them to shut his mouth up just so they can make a joke. So they finally learn how to shut you up.
Well, this is my just big like thing stupid. About Deadpool and Wolverine Origins. And this is why I'm upset about everyone who complains about it. Because I started reading Deadpool comics when Deadpool comics first came out in, like, the 90s. And I love Deadpool, and then they finally gave Deadpool his own series, Deadpool vs. the Marvel Universe, because in the Deadpool and Cable series, Cable died, and they couldn't continue it. So they give him, and that's the, if you guys ever get a chance, read Deadpool vs. the Marvel Universe. It's the best series they've ever come up with. Lasted 10 issues, no one was buying it, so they had to cancel the series. I was so upset. I'm like, man, I've never written in for fan mail. I wrote in, and I was like, this is the best series. I can't believe people aren't buying this. Wolverine Origins come out. Everyone says, oh, Deadpool's terrible in this. But look how popular Deadpool is in now.
Yeah.
When Deadpool was at the top of his game, because I think Deadpool is lacking now. Mm-hmm. I think when he was at the top of his game, no one paid attention to him. And then when he's put in a movie that people say that they had a problem with, all of a sudden now he's famous.
It was, yeah, it's not even, they put him in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. They put him in Ultimate Alliance 2. And they started featuring him in a lot of things. And now he's getting his own movie.
Yeah.
Which I think is really awesome. I'm sick of seeing...
As much as people say that they hate him in Wolverine Origins, that's the only reason why he's big today.
I can agree with that.
Well, his true flame had a strong and powerful glow, and then it just extinguished because no one bought
it. That's why they have to do comic book movies, right? Because comic books, like, they're not actually doing well.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not.
It's a dying
medium.
Do you
want to spend $4 on each issue of everything every month? So they are always trying to do something different. That's why they've got Marvel Digital. That's why they've got all these, like, digital mediums and stuff, and they're all trying to do different things, but, you know, that's what we have to realize about comics. So when they take it and they adapt it to movie form, they're going to take liberties because, you know, I mean, they can't, we can't be like, hey, this is quality stuff. You can't do that. Hey, we've got the money. We're Paramount or Warner Brothers or whatever. We got the money. This is how the movie's going to be made. People are going to love it. So, like, it, you know, there's lots of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we don't even know
enough. What do you think about Stan Lee, like, being featured in little cameos in every movie?
I love that.
I think it's really cool.
Awesome. It's my favorite. Every time I see him, I'm like, there we go. Oh, the worst, I was in the movie theater. Maybe it was Iron Man 2. And I remember Stan Lee comes up and he has the appearance, you know, when he's walking through the party. He's like, I'm Stan Lee. And the kid beside me goes, who's that? Man, I'm sitting there and I'm like, get the fuck out.
Let me ask you something. I heard that Stan Lee started Marvel with someone else.
Jack Kirby.
Okay, so...
Jack Kirby was the artist, though.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why that guy... What's his deal and why isn't he, like, featuring anything?
Well, there's...
I think he's dead now.
Who's the other guy who created Facebook?
Tom Zuckerberg stole it from...
Mark.
I'm thinking of MySpace. Good old Tom.
Imagine if Tom and Mark came together.
Yeah, my face.
Unstoppable.
My face.
Yeah. Well, Mark Zuckerberg stole it from, like, those two Olympic rowers. So.
Well, someone has to be kind of the poster boy of it.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, that's what happened with Stan Lee. He was smart and figured out how to do copywriting and everything, and everyone else, like, didn't.
Figured it out. He talked to a lawyer. It wasn't like he was like...
Quick question off topic. Are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles superheroes?
I would say so.
I consider them.
I wouldn't. I'd say they're
two,
like,
yeses and a no.
Genetic mutations that
so
happen
X-Men.
To be cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I like that. I like that in the X-Men world, they're mutants, and you know, they're just born that way. And then you look at every other comic, and it's like, a spider bit me.
Oh, my God. Craziest subtopic, by the way. I was reading the comic book, The Ultimates, that ends off all the Ultimate series. Have any of you guys read that?
Nope.
No.
You have the craziest thing where they rip apart Magneto. Spoiler alert.
Oh,
well,
you already
said
it, yeah.
No, I
rip apart Magneto.
They rip apart him by, can I say this?
You know you did, so let's continue.
Magnetic forces.
If you don't, if you haven't read Ultimates, don't listen to this next part.
Yeah, mute the next 2 minutes. So basically what they do, you know how Magneto's big thing in the X-Men is that he says, do you know what? We're the next, you know, we're in evolution. Yeah, yeah. Well, it turns out that actually a German, scientist invented the
mutation strain. Yeah.
And finally, Nick Fury tells Magneto this, and he says, do you know what? You've been killing, like, regular Homo sapiens because you think you're a different race, but you are actually the exact
same
race.
You're a science project.
And then Magneto just goes crazy.
Tears him up inside?
Cyclops blows his face off.
Oh.
But you know what? And that's one thing that I don't even think I have a problem talking about, because I'm going to promise you, in any series you read today, because that stopped the Ultimate Comics. That was the last thing for Ultimate Comics. Magneto's still alive. That topic was literally just in one universe.
Okay.
So it's still, like, it's not in any sense still going on.
Again, thing.
Like, that's something that I never even thought
about.
Well,
hold on. Back
to
the movies. What do you think of, because I have mixed feelings about it, the Daredevil movie.
I love it. First movie my sister ever liked.
I really loved it. But then again, like, I haven't seen it since it came out when I was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. So it's still got this whole nostalgic feeling to it. But if you want to talk about the George, not Election. George Clooney, Batman.
It's kind of like the great.
I'll tell you all my feelings about it.
Superhero movies. You had those Batmans, that kind of generation. Then you had the Elektra, Catwoman with Halle Berry, and Daredevil, that kind of era of those. And now the next step is, and then even then it was Spider-Man and the Spider-Man series, and now it's kind of X-Men and
Dark Knight, and
a lot of the
let's
Dark
take a moment.
Knight.
Let's take a moment before that and actually go around and let's say what our favorite comic book movies are. We'll start with Matt. Matt Bernard, a beta
so we have
Bernard
to
comedy.
Start with me. My favorite superhero movie, I'd say for pure comedic value, the Adam West Batman movie.
Huh.
Oh, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Good
I love
choice.
Shark repellent.
Yeah.
Good choice.
All right, Alice.
Well, like, I have a couple favorites. It depends on, like, the genre, right? Because I have my favorite Batman movie. I have my favorite Spider-Man movie, which was the first one, obviously.
But what one tops them all?
I don't know, man. Like, really that's the thing, because they're judged differently because they're in different eras.
Right now, if you could go home and watch one movie, which one would you watch?
Which would it be? It doesn't necessarily have to be your favorite, but if you were to watch one right now, which would you pick?
I would watch the George Clooney Batman Forever. Fucking love that shit.
Nice.
Everyone was like, no, it sucked. But the reason it rocked was because Batman comics, they are ridiculous. They are over the top. They are these crazy costumes and these crazy characters in this unrealistic world. And I really like the way that movie portrayed that. Except, you know, I agree the nipples on the costume are stupid.
My favorite, I don't know what my favorite is, but I will say right now, for some reason, the two that come to mind are Batman Begins and Dark Knight. But here's my issue. I like the story from Batman Begins better because I'm a sucker for the origins and I just think they did it really well. Dark Knight, I think, is a good movie with a lot of filler and that could have been cut out, and I think it has its issues. I think it's a good movie. I think Heath Ledger brought it from good to great.
You like Begins better than Dark Knight?
I would say so. In terms of like substance and story, I would. That's where my money is.
I think my favorite, and everyone who's listening is going to slap me in the face being the comic book nerd I am,
Greenland.
Spider-Man 3.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
Spider-Man 3 is a movie.
And you're hosting this show?
Spider-Man 3 is a movie. I mean, no, the reason why I like it is because how bad it is the fact that Spider-Man 3, I can sit down at any day of the week and watch this with a bottle of Merlot in my hand and a dream in my heart, and I will be entertained.
How?
I never saw it.
I will laugh when Sandman falls in the reactor and they think it's a bird. I'll laugh when he does a Saturday Night Strut down. I'll laugh when he smacks Mary Jane in the face.
But it's your favorite because it's bad then.
But it's still, if you could say to me, Nick, what's your favorite comic book movie? What would you want to go home and watch right now? Any day I'd say Spider-Man.
Okay, well, different question. What do you think has the best substance? What superhero
Howard
movie?
The Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Classic Howard. All right, we're going to play a little game now called...
What superpower would you have if?
Thank you. And this is going to be Matt Barnard's little game. So Matt wrote the question.
And Matt has all the questions.
I have all the questions.
Matt's going to ask this question, and we're going to go around, and we're all going to answer what superpower we would have.
Rules of the game. It's not just what superpower you would have. It's for a certain scenario. So you pay attention to the scenario. What power and why?
So we'll start, Alice.
We're on Facebook at Threatless Theater. So if you want to be involved, we're going to set this up on a blog question. And you go on and you answer. And the best answer that we have on next week's episode, we will say it and
save it.
Cool. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, scenario number one. This is an old standard. You're in line at the bank and it's being robbed. What superpower would you want and why?
All right. So my favorite superpower is the power of persuasion. If I had the power to persuade anybody to do whatever I wanted at any time.
Where would you take this? Like, give me the money?
No, I'd be like, no, leave. You're not doing it right.
All right.
Open up another teller
booth. And I would embarrass them, and they would be like, you should be ashamed of yourself. Go home. And they would honestly, they would run home with their head in their hands.
Mm. All right, Umet?
Okay, in that certain scenario, I think... there's so many to choose. I think the power to control metal would be really cool because I could close the vault on him and then just make
what if
him
they're
feel
robbing it with pointy sticks?
Oh,
oh God. This is a new ball. That's a game changer. We were playing basketball and now it's soccer. No. You know what? Okay, if I wasn't going to choose that one, I would choose... Oh my God! There's so okay.
Well,
it's
fine. This is just hypothetical. Okay, yeah, forget this.
I thought you weren't happy with it. I was like, well.
All right, mine would be the ability to pleasure myself orally. I think I'm at a point where they've spent so long trying to rob this bank. The least I can do is just pleasure myself orally and watch as it happens. And maybe they'll be so distracted by seeing this guy in the bank line pleasuring himself that they're going to stop.
You're just
going to
aid him.
Catch him.
You're
yeah
just going to aid him because he's going to be like, whoa.
You're a hero.
And then,
you'll get
then
a medal.
The security guard will run up, tack on the ground. They'll go, thanks, oral guy. And I'll be like, no problem. And run off
oral
to the next
oral guy.
That's who we're going to call you forever now.
Oral guy.
Oh, gee.
All right, scenario number two. You're at the zoo. It's being robbed. What do you do?
What do we do?
Oh, what do you do? One, someone's robbing the zoo.
So this is... What would you do is what,
well, what
superpower
power
would
you
have
to stop
the
burglars?
Worst to be like Beast Boy, turn into a gorilla and then just rob you.
Yeah, that'd be really cool if I could like talk to the animals or something.
Walk with the animals?
Or no, just talk to them.
Don't walk with them.
Like Aquaman, but for like animals. And be like, yo guys, this ain't going down. Nobody's robbing the zoo today.
Everyone run, llamas, run.
Down.
Okay, that was going to be mine, was talking to animals, but then I would choose morphing into animals. Like a...
So like beast.
So then you would get trapped in the zoo.
Yeah, that's the joke.
But
I
then,
made.
But
if
then no, because
gorilla,
I could turn back into a human, and that would just give me good media coverage because they'd be like, "Man, 27 was
holy
gotten
crap,
a gorilla.
This gorilla just turned into a man." All right, Nicholas.
I'd want the ability to open up cages with my mind, and I would just fuck with these guys, and like they'd put an elephant in a cage, and I just with a flick of my wrist, the cage would open back up, and the elephant would kind of stumble out. Then have to keep on redoing it, and then the security guard would come, and he'd
so
tackle
specific
the guy to the ground, and then I'd be a hero, and they go, "Thanks, oral guy."
So we have like 45 seconds. Another one.
Another one. Oh, okay, you go to visit your deaf uncle who just bought a boat. You go out fishing. You look up in the sky, and a military cargo plane that's on fire is about to crash into the lake. Remember, your uncle is deaf. Go.
Oh, man. If I had, like, one of those teleportation abilities where I could take him, me, and the boat.
You take him.
Yeah, I would take him.
You're a lot
him
nicer than me.
and the boat, because, like, you know, the boat. And, you know, just put us in the other part of the lake where, you know, the plane isn't crashing. And just let it crash.
I've already said control metal, so control technology. And I would just, reprogram it to fly over safely.
Well, it's on fire. I'm sure the captain's doing as well. The pilot's doing as much as he can not to crash into the lake.
Control metal.
Control metal, okay.
That would be the ability to not feel sympathy and then to just swim off.
So we've got 20 seconds left.
Yeah,
you want to plug anything
in? Do you guys
want
to plug anything?
I'll be at the Junction Arts Fest in the second weekend of September. That's Dundas and somewhere west. Junction Arts Fest.
You guys should check my website, t.comics.ca, T-D-O-T, because it's about T.City. Also, follow me on Twitter, at T.comics. Like us on Facebook, the whole spiel, man. We'll hang out online.
Follow me on Twitter. I am Umed. U-M-E-D is how you spell Umed.
I'm Nikki Patterson, or follow us at Threadless Theater on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Go to our website, threadlesstheater.ca. Add Crispy. Crispy Patterson is here in the studio with us. I just add him on Facebook.
I keep forgetting that it's at I am Umed, and you have to add that at, or it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Then people, I never say, they're like, what's your Twitter? I am Umed. And they're like, oh, Umed? And then I'm like, no, I am.
So yeah,
stupid.
Definitely. We're reworking our website right now. So for the moment, like us on Facebook. And as we said, we'll have a special section for comic book nerds and celibacy with the blog questions that Matt Bernard writes for us. Which,
send in your answers.
Coming up with that on the spot.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Right, like, as you first said it, I was like, oh man, we should get people involved. I was like, yeah, we have it on a blog.
I had one more, and it's a real brain buster.
You know, leave this one for the audience.
Okay, this one's for the audience. $1 million is buried in a graveyard in Thunder Bay. You and your arch rival both know of its location. It's a race, but any power you have, your rival has as well.
Ooh, that's really, really
that
cool.
That is good. That is well, so hopefully good. You guys answer it, and thanks so much for listening to this episode.
You.
We'll see you guys next week.
Cue music. Or don't. Yeah, you don't.